Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, a special holiday edition of Intelligent Medicine, because this weekend, when lots of programming is canned or pre-recorded, we're here live. We're here to answer your questions. 888-302-3684. That's our number, 888-302-3684. And you get right through to me with your health question if you desire to engage in conversation this weekend. And I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope that you had an opportunity to spend time with friends, family, or whatever it is that you choose to do on Thanksgiving, or whether it's a tofu turkey, or whether it's some exotic ethnic dish, or whether it's a traditional American tom turkey. I hope that you had a good time. I certainly did. I spent time with friends and family, and it was a really nice, relaxing Thanksgiving. A lot of driving. The roads were clogged, and I spent a lot of time in a car to get up to see some people up in Connecticut. Long drive from New York City with a lot of people on the road, but it was worth it. Had a great time. And I'm here nice and relaxed and doing precisely what I like to do, which is to share vital health information with you. So 888-302-3684, and we'll be talking about lots of things this hour. We have some new insights into what happened to Robin Williams. Robin Williams ended his life tragically, but we have some perspective on what actually happened. I'll share with you something that I learned this weekend by talking to a 20-something. Safe use of ecstasy. Is there such a thing? It's amazing the conversations that take place when you have transgenerational gatherings. I don't spend a lot of time talking to 20-somethings except as patients in my office, but talk to a family member who had some interesting things to share with me. So we'll talk about that in just a few moments. All right, proof positive. This is the largest study to date that confirms the old aphorism that an apple a day could keep the doctor away. They had to spend millions of dollars on this and study literally thousands of research subjects to determine that, yes, indeed, it is true, an apple a day could keep the doctor away. And I'm referring to a study in this month's American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, the foremost, most prestigious publication in the field of nutrition. And they discuss a study that suggests that fiber intake can affect the most important marker of health that we can think of, which is whether you're going to live or die. I guess it's pretty important, you know, whether you get heart disease, whether you get cancer, whether you get any kind of health problem. But I think you would all agree that the most important health outcome is whether you're going to live or die. Big study. They did it over a period of 9 years. They recruited over 7,000 men aged 55 to 75 and women 60 to 75 at high cardiovascular disease risk. And over that period of nearly 9 years, 425 participants died. And what determined their risk of dying? Well, one of the most important determinants of the risk of dying was their intake of fiber, in particular, fruit. All right, I always said that fiber is good for you. Have you ever seen a fat moth? Moths eat fiber. You know, you pull out an old, you know, sweater that's sitting in the closet, and you go, oh my goodness, it's full of holes. Well, a moth got to it, and that's a healthy moth. No way that moth is going to be obese. The only problem with moths is that they only have, what, about 3.5 months? But anyway, when it comes to people, fiber is beneficial. But would it be appropriate for people to extrapolate from this study that just if they sprinkle a little Metamucil on their yogurt, something like that, that that would extend their life? A lot of people doing that. A lot of people convinced that fiber is important. Added fiber in cereal is considered a health benefit and has been touted as such. So in this issue of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, they they address certain questions. By the way, the magnitude of the risk reduction was very, very dramatic. Participants whose fruit consumption was greater than 210 grams per day. What's that, about 8 ounces of fruit? That's all, just 8 ounces of fruit per day. They had a 41% lower risk of all-cause death. And the associations are particularly strong for cardiovascular disease. And keep in mind that these are people who are at risk of cardiovascular disease. So that's important. Okay, so they break it down this way. They ask the question, is fiber per se protective? In other words, can you sprinkle some fiber extract on your food and derive the benefits? Or do you have to get the fiber with the food, i.e., do you have to consume the whole grains, the fruit, and or vegetables? And is fiber, well, fiber is a substance, but it's also a marker for all kinds of other healthy nutrients that are found in association with fiber in the food. And what they say here, and I'm quoting, they're putting it in layman's term, because a lot of this is in, you know, very complicated scientific terminology. They're saying the message to the public should be, we're pretty sure that a fiber-rich diet is a healthy diet. But we're still unsure as to whether it's the fiber in the foods or the fact that a plant-based diet high in whole grains, legumes, fruit, and vegetables is a healthy diet. And that's why if fiber is extracted from the plant, like psyllium, for example, which is an extract of fiber, maybe that, you know, that's not been shown necessarily to be beneficial. And many studies are looking at prevention of colon cancer. Just adding fiber to the diet did not reduce the risk of subsequent polyps and cancer. So what they also found was that it was mostly fruits that made a difference. Neither vegetable intake nor intake of whole grains showed a significant trend toward decreased all-cause mortality. So it's the fruit that are rich in fiber that seem to make the difference. And what about this one? This is an important question. Do you have to have a healthy diet from birth? Or can you benefit from a change to a high-fiber diet later in life to get some protection? Now, remember, in the study, they started with people already at risk for cardiovascular disease, and they watched them for 9 years. And what they determined is that there was indeed a benefit in changing from a low-fiber diet to a higher-fiber diet for many of these individuals. And it didn't take much. They found that those whose intake was the lowest, if they switched to the level where their intake was second lowest, it wasn't necessarily crammed with fresh fruits and vegetables. They just somewhat increased their intake of fresh fruit and vegetables. Those individuals had a lower risk of cardiovascular disease than did the group who remained with a low intake. So that suggests that we could do an intervention on people later in life who are already with some degree of cardiovascular disease or other risk of dying and make a difference with a change to a higher fiber diet. Now, what about this one? What about the benefits of fiber in people who already have pre-existing disease? Is fiber beneficial just for healthy people? Or could it be beneficial for people who are already sick? Well, this study answers that question because they took a lot of people who already had substantial risk of cardiovascular disease. They say the current study focuses on older individuals who were at high risk of contracting heart attacks and strokes, not healthy individuals. And it's clear from the study that those at-risk individuals still benefit from a diet that's not much higher than the lowest part of the group in terms of fiber and fruit intake. So did it take a major change in the diet to get into the protective category? I mean, do you have to cram yourself with fresh fruits and vegetables? Well, we come back to the title of this article, which is proof positive that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. It turns out that precisely the amount of fiber in one apple was enough to take people from high risk to lower risk. So it comes back to the old adage, you know, Mom used to say, and the old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Proof positive, according to a study costing millions, involving thousands over multiple years. Now you know the truth about that old adage. All right, 888-302-3684. That's a number. We'll be taking your phone calls momentarily. We got lots more to talk about on this holiday weekend. You're out shopping, you're out driving, you're turning from your holiday destination. Please tune in, because we got lots to share with you on this Thanksgiving weekend, 2014. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 is our number. We'll be taking your calls today. And in just a few moments, we're going to talk about a new perspective on the tragic death of comedian Robin Williams. There's more to the story than just despair about his life circumstances. But first, let's talk to Tim in Lebanon, New Hampshire.
Dr. Hoffman, a question. What are the downsides of monosodium glutamate as an additive?
Well, there's quite a lot of downsides because, you know, originally monosodium glutamate was introduced as an industrial product from Japan in the 1950s. They started to crank up production of that. And the reason that they did that is, you know, people traditionally believe that there are, what, five different tastes, you know, sweet, sour, salty, bitter, and, you know, whatever, the traditional tastes. And there's another taste that's actually a unique taste that can be invoked by fermented foods, which is called umami, U-M-A-M-I. It's a Japanese word, which is a distinct kind of taste. You can't even, you know, describe it in terms of a medley of the other type of taste sensations. And you can really rev the umami taste buds with MSG. MSG goes directly to the taste buds, and it actually jazzes up the brain. It lights up the brain in a fashion that, A, makes the food particularly palatable, can cause you to overeat, and B, it's a neuroexcitatory compound. And according to Russell Blaylock, one of our good colleagues, and we've talked to him throughout my career on radio, I've interviewed him several times, he has introduced a novel theory, which is that many neurodegenerative diseases may be triggered by neuroexcitation. And two major sources of that, one is MSG in the diet, and the other one is artificial sweeteners like NutraSweet. These things directly hyperstimulate the brain. They cause us to overeat, but they ultimately burn out the brain circuits, and this can cause long-term damage. In the short term, there's some real side effects of MSG. There are many reports of people who get headaches. There are many reports of people who get burning sensation, tingling, numbness, facial pressure, chest pain, GERD or reflux, nausea, palpitations, brain fog, drowsiness, overall bodily sensation of weakness. Some people are particularly sensitive to the effects of MSG. And so you go to the, you know, go to the Chinese restaurant and you say, no MSG. And they go, they nod. Yeah. Okay. But there's so many weasel words for MSG. There's probably, you know, at least 50. And you'll see packaging that has natural flavorings, or it has yeast extract, or it has any number of innocuous sounding substances in it. And you look for MSG. Well, there's no MSG in this. Well, there is, because these are ways to introduce, using weasel words, the active principle of MSG, monosodium glutamate, which activates the taste buds. So are you someone who is sensitive to this?
No. We have a tenant, and I noticed she consumes a lot of things with that in it, and she has an issue health-wise.
And what is her issue? What is her health issue?
Sleep disorder.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's one of them. I mean, certainly it can be something that can create a hyper stimulation of the brain. And, you know, certainly, you know, you take in an MSG-laden meal late at night, and you're sensitive, chances are you could have sleep disturbance. So that's a possibility. She may need to get the MSG out of her diet. What does she order? She orders in Chinese food every night before bed?
No, but, she's oral personality, constantly eating.
Yeah.
And well, so her weight is like 2-something, 260.
Well, look, there's a variety of ways that can create sleep problems. You know, number one, you know, if you overeat, you're going to create ups and downs in blood sugar. And ups and downs in blood sugar disrupt sleep. If you alternately have a surge in your blood sugar followed by reactive hypoglycemia, a crash in your blood sugar, that's going to cause you to have disturbed sleep. That's why a lot of people have insomnia. That's why a lot of my patients, when they get on a lower-carb diet, they sleep deeper and they start to rest and relax. But people who are overweight, they're also inflamed. Their body is inflamed, and so is the brain. Sometimes the brain doesn't function as well. Sleep is something that's an energy-intensive process, and if your brain is inflamed and poor circulation, or there's like insulin resistance in your brain, we call this diabetes type 3, you're not going to think clearly and you're not going to sleep deeply. So there are a variety of problems associated with that, not just the MSG being responsible. All right, when we return, we'll talk a little bit about that Robin Williams story. Interesting perspective on his death. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
As a doctor, I'm always looking for ways to improve my patients' lives. And as an athlete, I'm always looking for ways to improve my own stamina and vitality. That's why I was excited to discover Super Beets. You know, fresh beet juice is great. It's proven to enhance athletic performance, but it's a mess to make, and some people can't stand the taste. Super Beets helps your body create nitric oxide, which helps you boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure levels. Get the benefits of 3 whole beets in just 1 teaspoon of Super Beets. I feel confident offering this to my listeners because I personally take Super Beets. It's my new favorite product. It gives me energy, stamina, and endurance. Go to intelligentbeets.com now, and with my special offer, you get a 30-day supply for free with your first order, plus get a free book, Beat the Odds, to learn more about the benefits of beets, free shipping, and a 100% money-back guarantee. So call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com. That's 800-738-2198. Again, 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com right now.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and recently we mourned the death of Robin Williams, and he committed suicide. And for a lot of people, this was very paradoxical, because here was one of America's funny men who apparently had a burden of sadness. And a lot of people cited that as, you know, a prime motivator for people who are funny, humorous. Maybe it's a hedge against, you know, their own internal sadness or hopelessness, and that ultimately his sadness overcame him. But there's more to this than just simply a clown personality. gone awry, according to the autopsy results on Robin Williams. Other people speculated that it might have been his drug use that contributed to his ultimate demise, or perhaps debts, you know, facing overwhelming debts and, you know, having to be in a very, very demanding production schedule to try and keep up with his financial obligations and his lifestyle expenses. I mean, that ultimately can drag you down, or aging itself. You know, it's hard to maintain that furious pace, that staccato rhythm that he maintained in his comedic style as you get older, and that, you know, facing maybe declining faculties, he decided to end it all. Well, no, there's more to it, because according to his official autopsy, Robin Williams had a disease called Lewy body dementia. And I didn't quite realize how prevalent this was. I knew that it was, you know, not a rare disease, but it is fairly common, with 1.3 million people suffering from the illness in the United States, although mostly remains undiagnosed because it shares symptoms with Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease. But Lewy body dementia is a condition in which deposits spread through the brain, including part of the brain called the cerebral cortex, which is the white matter responsible for problem solving and perception. And the main symptom is progressive dementia, although patients with the disease may experience visual hallucinations, trouble in sleeping, changes in attention. And indeed, people with Lewy body dementia may appear disoriented. According to ABC News, Williams had displayed odd behavior in his final days. He kept several watches in a sock and was, quote, concerned about keeping the watches safe. So he was really suffering. He had depression and disorientation. And this is a challenging illness, because there is no conventional medical cure. There are natural measures that can be taken to slow its progression, in my opinion, but there is no surefire magic bullet approach that tackles this neurodegenerative disease. But you know, there's an entire field, subspecialty within integrative medicine, which addresses neurodegeneration. And a good example of this is the book Grain Brain by my good colleague, Dr. David Perlmutter, who's been a frequent guest on Intelligent Medicine. He's America's foremost integrative neurologist. And the brain's a sensitive organ. And a lot of us, we don't take care of our bodies, our brains will deteriorate in one way or another. We may develop Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, various types of brain deterioration, including Lewy body dementia, or LBD, which, according to this article, very pervasive. 1.3 million Americans suffering from it. So, unfortunately, Robin Williams becomes the celebrity poster boy for this debilitating condition. All right, I promised to talk to you about, you know, a conversation that I had with a 20-something at the Thanksgiving gathering of our family. You know, Thanksgiving gives you an opportunity to interact with people of all generations that usually, you know, you pretty much stick to your age group. But, you know, when the kids are around and there's not a lot to do, you know, conversations take place and you share and you learn stuff, because the kids will tell you about all kinds of advances in electronics and fantastic new apps that are must-have killer apps for your iPhone or your iPad. And the conversation ranged to drug use. And one of the kids at this Thanksgiving gathering, he's 20-something, going on 30. He asked me, because he knows I do integrative medicine, he asked me about some advice at in a website called rollsafe.org. Now, what they're talking about here, this is a website that's dedicated to people who like to take ecstasy. That's a rave drug that kids, you know, see these kids dancing all night, you know, crazy dancing, crazy electronic music. And some of them are on ecstasy. Ecstasy, otherwise known as MDMA, has now been popularly rebranded as Molly, That is pure crystalline MDMA, also sometimes referred to as the love drug. The drug's effects last 3 to 6 hours. And the people have taken it. I haven't taken it. But they say it's amazing. It's an amazing drug. It triggers the release of oxytocin and vasopressin, which have important roles in love, trust, sexual arousal. And this drug has even been used experimentally to treat patients with various types of mental disorders, shyness, depression. There are good aspects of this, but there are also bad aspects of this. The drug depletes serotonin. It works by releasing huge amounts of serotonin in the brain, but it depletes your serotonin. And it can be addictive. And when you crash, there can be negative after effects, confusion, depression, sleep problems, drug craving, anxiety. Because when, you know, what goes up must come down. And at the end, you may crash. And so this organization is putting out guidelines for the safe use of Molly or MDMA or ecstasy. And they're suggesting I make sure you get a clean batch, that, you know, what's in it, that it's not mixed with some harmful chemicals. But this is why he came to me and asked me about this. There's some directions here on this website for supplements to take to offset the potentially adverse effects of Molly and give you a cleaner high with less of a crash. And it's interesting, you know, and I looked at this, and what they suggest that you take alpha-lipoic acid. Well, that's a nutrient that I take on a daily basis. It's a powerful antioxidant. And they also suggest that you take magnesium. Why? It prevents jaw clenching, which is a side effect of this medication. Makes your muscles spasm. So they say take magnesium glycinate 6 hours before, 1 hour before, and during, if you can remember to take it while you're dancing your brains out. Also, they suggest vitamin C because it's an antioxidant that reduces neurotoxicity and hepatotoxicity. They're using the lingo correctly here. And quercetin. Quercetin, they say, reduces neurotoxicity. Also, grapeseed extract. And so he asked me, and I said, I don't know. Because, I mean, all this stuff is, yeah, it's plausible, and it might make sense. But who knows if it can counteract the potentially harmful effects of MDMA. I mean, this is just a big experiment that probably, if not millions, hundreds of thousands of kids are engaging in on a yearly basis. And we just don't know. We don't have the answers as to whether these supplements can take the edge off potentially hazardous behavior. It's like a smoker saying, well, what can I take to offset the effects of smoking? Oh, you take some antioxidants, you know, make sure that you take, you know, lots of mixed carotenoids and potent things like EGCG, which has a cancer preventive effect. But, you know, when it comes to Molly, these are hypothetical things. And, oh, by the way, they're announcing the advent of a supplement that they plan to market from this website that kids can take. It's a vitamin combo that you can take along with your illicit drugs to reduce the potential adverse effects. And I'm saying, yeah, okay, you know, hypothetically, yeah, might work, but who knows? I mean, it's a big experiment. And for each alleged benefit, it has to be carefully researched to see if indeed these things will make the difference. I love these kids because they're so earnest in their efforts to make something that is inherently dangerous safe and sane. But I wonder if this isn't just something that's illusory. And that's what I shared with my younger relative at this Thanksgiving gathering. Hope you had some good conversations like I did. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is a special Thanksgiving edition of Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day, I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at NordicNaturals.com.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Well, if that last segment sounded a little bit like an episode from Breaking Bad, we're talking about methamphetamine factories. Here we're talking about ecstasy. This next segment may help us descend even further. It has to do with an article this week, actually a very good article, in the New Yorker magazine entitled The Excrement Experiment. Yeah, you heard me right. It's an article about poop as a medical treatment. We've been talking a little bit about this. It has a nice little acronym, FMT, which stands for Fecal Microbial Transplantation, FMT. And literally, they're doing this. They're doing this specifically for the one condition that is permitted by the Food and Drug Administration. By the way, the Food and Drug Administration has reclassified your stool as a drug. You're not allowed to do with it as you wish. It is something that can only be administered under strict FDA-approved guidelines. And although there are some people who are doing a DIY approach to this, they're treating various gastrointestinal diseases with fecal transfer. They're, getting some poop and getting a blender and a funnel and, use your imagination. But there's an official way that this can be done. And under strict FDA guidelines, by the way, it's very effective for one particular condition, which is the severe diarrhea that arises from a C. difficile infection. This infection is becoming ever more prevalent. It's often hospital acquired. It affects people with poor immunity and the elderly. And it is a devastating, very hard to treat diarrhea. In previous years, it responded to antibiotics, but it's become antibiotic resistant. So people with this condition have terrible, terrible, debilitating diarrhea. They waste away and they can literally die from this. So, hey, serious problems deserve extreme and seemingly unpalatable remedies, right? So to make this more official, there's an outfit that has opened up. It's called Open Biome. You can go to the website, and this is a place. It's like the Red Cross for poop. It's a blood. Instead of a blood bank, it's a poop bank, and doctors can order poop that has been properly vetted, because you got to make sure that it comes from a healthy donor. The donor cannot have any disease. The donor cannot be obese, because it's thought that even obesity is contagious via the microbiome. You may transfer the microbiome of a fat person to a thin person, and that person could blow up. So they have criteria. They screen the donors very carefully. They make sure that they test them for various diseases. They do stool tests on them to make sure that the stool does not contain parasites, harmful organisms. And then if you qualify as a donor, then you can get $40 a pop for something that you ordinarily flush down the toilet. Yes, you can become a stool donor, $40. And they actually have given donors remain anonymous. So you don't know who you're getting your stool from. You know, see, if you want to get, your stool from Kim Kardashian or something, no, you can't. Nor would you want to necessarily. But I'm saying these are anonymous donors and they're assigned fictional names. So one of the donors, according to this article, her name is Winnie the Pooh. Get it? Winnie the Pooh. Another donor is Vladimir Putin, P-O-O-T-I-N, because it protects the anonymity of the donor. And, the question is, what is a healthy donor? Is there such a thing left in the Western world as a healthy donor? Someone who's never taken antibiotics, who's not had chlorinated or fluoridated water, who's not eaten junk food. What are we really getting necessarily? And by the way, I've seen this backfire. Excuse the pun, but I've seen this not, one of my patients, unbeknownst to me, a patient with severe ulcerative colitis, went and did it with a family member, and her colitis got much worse. She said it was a bummer. It was not helpful. And there's actually a case report in the New England Journal of Medicine that I read recently of somebody who comes to the hospital. They had a history of ulcerative colitis, and they had terrible, terrible, terrible diarrhea. And they asked, what changed? I mean, your ulcerative colitis was under control with the medications we were giving you. It wasn't cured. And the person finally admitted that they had gotten a stool sample from their wife and their kids. They mixed the stool together, and they self-administered it. And they determined that this gave this person a cytomegalovirus infection, an infection of the intestinal tract. Kids are known to harbor cytomegalovirus, probably caught it from one of his kids who wasn't sick, but just was a carrier of this virus. So what's next? Will we have what are called crapsules? Not capsules, but crapsules. We'll be able to encapsulate poop. And they're working on this. Believe me, this is a biotech bonanza. If they can come up with a way to patent this and make money off this, you're going to see this happen. And the applications may be very extensive. They may be beyond C. difficile, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, chronic constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, you name it. And even with the potential to take a fat person, turn them into a skinny person by giving them the healthy bacteria from a thin person, changing their metabolism over, or treating depression or treating autoimmune disease. Patients who have MS have been shown to be helped by a transfer of certain harmless parasites that engage their immune system and in effect create a diversion so that the immune system doesn't attack the brain. The potential for this is enormous. So, interesting stuff, a little bit unpalatable, but hey, all right. If, you want something to be thankful for this, Thanksgiving, here's something to be thankful for. I just read this, from a Canadian magazine. They just announced, by the way, as bad as our medical system is, when there's something to be said for the Canadian medical system, a lot of people get medical care for free or relatively low cost. And it's much more equitable. But on the other hand, as bad as our medical system is, here's what's happening in Canada. They just announced that, hooray, Saskatchewan, the province of Saskatchewan, now has the second shortest wait time for surgery in the country. This is Canada, according to an annual report. The study called Waiting Your Turn. So you got to wait there because they're rationing medical care. They found that the median wait time for medically necessary surgery in Saskatchewan was a mere 14.2 weeks. Isn't that great? What an improvement. Among the provinces, Saskatchewan had, well, it wasn't really an improvement. They had the smallest increase in wait time since 1993. Only 45% increase in wait time since 1993. That's good. That's progress. But New Brunswick, on the other hand, on the east coast of Canada, saw the biggest jump at 203% increase in wait time. Patients in Saskatchewan waited 7 weeks to be referred to a specialist, down from 12 weeks in 2013. So that's an improvement. Meanwhile, the wait time from consultation with a specialist to treatment was cut in half to just 7 weeks. In other words, you're told you need to see a specialist. Canada is great. You only have to wait 7 weeks. Ontario had the shortest wait time for surgery. You only had to wait 14 weeks. New Brunswick reported the longest wait time at 37 weeks. The national average wait time in Canada is 18 weeks. That, unfortunately, is up 96% from 1993. So, you know, with the, you know, equitable treatment and availability of medical care comes longer wait times. You can't have it always. All right. Thanks for joining us for this hour of the program. We have lots more coming up on this beautiful Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you join us for another hour of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.